And he began to see who God was and realized, well, who is God to get all the worship? I need to get some of this worship. I need to get in a little bit of it. And so as he began to allow pride to swell up in him, we see this character called the devil being created. God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. And so it is. God created you. And God created you to be one of his beautiful creations. God created you to be a masterpiece. And if you are anything else but that, it's because of you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2.
And create something beautiful to his glory. Somebody says something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Some of the greatest used people have been people that have been born to unmarried parents. God makes something beautiful out of all of his creation. If we will just let him do his work. As I close today, what should be our response to God's work in the womb? How should we respond, given the fact that God has taken the time to think about us before we were conceived, to create us and develop us and allow us to be born into this life? What are some things that we should do in response to that? First of all, we should praise him for his handiwork. You should thank God for his handiwork in creating human beings. Psalm 139, 14, we've read it. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I remember years ago, there was a song that I heard the kids sing. And the words to that song go something like this. If I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. And if I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. And if I were a fish in the sea, I'd wiggle my tail and giggle with glee. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Because you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus, and you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. I like this one. If I were a wiggly worm, I thank you, Lord, that I could squirm. And if I were a crocodile, I thank you, Lord, for my big smile. And if I were a fuzzy wuzzy bear, I thank you, Lord, for my fuzzy wuzzy hair. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Because you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. You ought to praise God for his handiwork. Like I said last week, many people will travel to the far remote regions of the earth to see the sights of the world, the seven wonders of the world, to see the Grand Canyon, to see Mount Rushmore, to see the Hanging Gardens, to see the pyramids in Egypt. We will travel miles and miles. But sometimes you don't even spend all that money to travel and see some of those great sights. Just stop and think about the miracle of the human body and just marvel at the work of God, the handiwork. Amen. Secondly, we should realize that we are his special creation and he created us for a purpose. Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. The Lord will perfect that. What does that mean to perfect? He will bring it to completion. He will allow his purposes for my life to be complete. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. And look at the psalmist's cry. Forsake not the work of thy own hands. God is not going to create you and then leave you hanging. God, if God took the time and energy to think about you, and God took the time and energy to create you, then what in the world business would it be of God's just to leave you hanging? Just to leave you out there to self. You are too valuable to God. If you are self-destructing, you are not accomplishing the purpose that God has for you. The psalmist said here that, God, you created me for a purpose. Lord, do not forsake the work of your hands. Lord, don't leave me out here. I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you know your purpose? Do you know your purpose? And I put together two statements, and I want you to complete the statement. You don't have to complete it out loud, but complete it in your heart. If you can't complete the sentence, then maybe you don't understand why you're here. I feel most productive when I. When do you feel you are most productive in your life? All right? Now, once again, you know, somebody might say, well, I feel most productive when I'm selling drugs. Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. See, now that's negative. Now, we're not talking about that. Or I feel most productive when I'm cheating. No, we're not talking about that. No, we're not talking, because I see, you know, some people say, well, that's just, I'm not talking about that. In a beneficial way. When do you feel most productive? I feel most productive when I stand in the Word and preach the Word of God. When do you feel most productive? I feel most significant when I, what? When do you feel most significant? When do you feel like you are accomplishing the thing that God has put you here to accomplish? I feel most significant when? And if you can't answer either one of those questions, then the chances are you don't know why you're here. And you need to find out why you're here. That God just didn't create a big lump of flesh for you just to occupy air on this earth. God created you for a reason. God had a specific purpose in mind. You may remember a couple years ago, there was this show, American Invention. And folk would come on there with all these crazy inventions. And people would look at it, and they would come on with some of the stupidest looking stuff. And what was the question that everybody would ask? Well, what does it do? What does it do? I mean, you got an invention. What does it do? And these folk, man, these things did all kind of stuff. Now, if finite man can create stuff that has a purpose, how much can an infinite God, who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, who is the ruler of the universe, take the time to create? Take the time to create something and not have a purpose for it. God got a purpose for you. What is the purpose that he has for you? Number three, we should use what he has given us and be good stewards over it. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Let me read that again. Hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You are God's workmanship. Are you using this body that God has given you to you, his honor and glory? Well, you know, I wish I was a little bit taller. If I was a little bit taller, you know, I probably could do such and such a thing. Or I wish I was a little bit smarter. I wish I had a higher IQ. All right. Well, take what God has given you and use it. Maybe if you study a little bit more, you might be a little more smarter. Maybe if you use what God gave you. God gave, man, you get the most out of what God has given you. If God, you know, and let's be honest. You know, some people have a little bit more to work with than other folk. All right? I mean, that's the truth. You know, some people got it all. They got it, you know, they got it all. And some people don't have as much. But don't you think that God knew that? And God had a purpose? And, you know, I remember when I was in seminary. Now, here's a guy, Pastor Glaze, to give my testimony, that the night before I took the SAT, I was so high that I went down to take the SAT, and all I heard the man say was pick up the pencil, and the next thing I heard him say was put down the pencil. I think I got like a 100 or something for on the SAT, and you get that for putting your name down. Here was a guy that flunked out of college the first year I went. I had a 0.07, so I don't know. Flunked out of college the first year that I went. Then I got right with God. And when I got right with God, when I went back to college, and I graduated from college with a 3.2. Now let me tell you this. I'm not working with a whole lot, right? You know, boy from the hood, you know, coming, you know, academically, you know, not the greatest, you know, don't have good study skills, don't have any of that now, right? Went to seminary. All these guys, now, I went to seminary. I was in seminary with guys that were sharp. I mean, some sharp guys. And they, you know, their churches were paying for them to go to seminary. Paying for them to go. I had a job throwing newspapers. And after classes were over, I was going in my car to get the newspapers to throw them so I could take care of my family. These brothers are in there studying, in the library. I said, oh, man, I'd like to be able to do that. I'd like to be able to do that. They was coming. They was busting A's on the test. I was coming, I was getting B's. They was coming, they was, for the semester, they was getting 4.0s. I was doing all right. You know, a lot of those guys today are not even in ministry. Some of those guys dropped out of seminary. Some of the guys quit the ministry. And I said, God knew that this hard head from Braddock, who got high, who didn't study, who wasn't academically among the best students, that God knew he could use me. That God knew he could use me. God knew he could use me. And so I'm here to say that if you will take what God has given you and you will work hard and you will use it to his glory, God will use you sometimes more than people that he gave more. You see folk walking around with all this talent. You know, we had a saying. Yeah, I used to coach football in college. And we had a saying that we would say. You know, you get some of these guys come in, I mean, they're big and strong and can run fast, and they look good, but they can't play. And we had a saying, coach, that guy get you fired. That guy will get you fired. Why? Because he got all that talent and he's not doing anything. He will get you fired. See, God gifts people. And if you've been gifted with a lot, then you've got to use it to his glory. If you haven't been gifted with as much, then you take what he's given you and you use it for his honor and for his glory. We are his workmanship. And let me say this real quick, because we need to be good stewards. of these bodies. So I'm just going to say this real quick. I think that we need to take care of our bodies. You know, we need to, now once again, if you can, we need to exercise, we need to eat right. I'm preaching to myself now. See, when you point one finger, there's three coming back at you, right? All right, I know this. You got to take care. If God thought enough of you to create you, then you ought to think enough of yourself to take care of what God has given you. He has given you this body, and you are to be a steward over this body. Well, this is my body. I can do what I want with it. No, this is God's body. 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know you not that you were bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body, which are whose? Which are God's. Which are God's. This is God's body. This is the holy temple of God. And God wants you to take care of what he created. Because as a little boy said, God don't create no junk. If God created you, he didn't create junk. Number four, in times of sickness, we should rest in the fact that the one who put us together cell by cell knows exactly what's wrong with us. Look at Isaiah 44 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, who will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. What did God say? God said that whatever's going on in your life, trust him. Whatever's going on in your life, you need not fear, because he is the one that made you. Look what he said. Thus saith the Lord that made you and formed you in the womb. And I say this again, that if the God who knelt down and created us cell by cell and touched those cells and allow those cells to multiply in the womb that created our bodies, that if the God who did all that and something happens to us and the doctors don't know and we don't know, there's a God that knows. I don't know how many people that I've talked to, the doctors can't find out what's wrong with me. The one who created you knows exactly what's wrong with you. And I want to encourage you that whenever you come to the place where you're dealing with sickness or illness, pray a prayer like this. Lord, I don't know what's going on with my body. And even the doctors can't tell me what's happening. But Lord, you know the exact place where the problem is, and you know exactly the reason why it's malfunctioning. And Lord, right now I just commit myself to you. I commit myself to the one who created me and the one who knows me better than anybody else. And Lord, I just pray that you would take control of this situation and that you would touch my body and that you would give me strength. That's all that God asked us to do. That's all that he asked us to do. And number five, we should trust him because he's the one who created us, and he will take care of us all the days of our life. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from their birth, who are carried from the womb. God said that he birthed you. He created you in the womb, and he carried you through the womb. Look at verse 4. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to the gray hairs will I carry you. I have made you, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will. That's a powerful passage right there. That is a powerful passage. The one who created you and birthed you will carry you all the way through to the time when your hair either turns gray or turns loose. He's going to watch over you. He's going to watch you. He's going to go with you. Oh, what a mighty God that we serve. As we close today, I want to share this illustration. Back in the 70s, NASA sent a shuttle, a spaceship, to Mars. And when the spaceship landed on Mars, it was supposed to go out with the different arms of the spacecraft and grab a sample of the surface and put it back and bring it back to the spacecraft. Well, just so happens that one of the switches broke, and so they couldn't take the sampling. So they notified some scientists here on this earth, and they were able to go, and they were able to hit some machines or something, and one over millions of miles away, they were able to correct the problem on Mars and get that sampling that they needed. Now, sometimes in our house, we have switches that break. And we got to go to the Lowe's and Home Depot and get a switch. You know, we got to go and switch it out and put it in. But here these folk, millions of miles away, they took care of the problem from here. How could they take care of the problem? Well, when the system was being designed, the scientists put in place and they took into account all the things that could go wrong. And they put the necessary systems in place to be able to take care of the problem from here. I just want to let you know that there's a God that when the latches of your life and the latches of your body malfunction, he puts something in place where he can sit on his throne and he can maneuver a few gadgets and he can work it out and make everything all right. That there is a God who sits high, but he walks low. And the same God, when things in your life are messed up, when things in your life are absolutely out of control, that if you will just yield and allow him to work, he can fix the latches, the broken latches of your life. David said, as I close, looking at one Psalm 139 again, David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Look at this. And my soul knows that. I'm a testimony of what God can do. Are you a testimony today of the power of God, the fact that you are fearfully and wonderfully made?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Value of Brokenness in Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Human Beings, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.